So what exactly is the TPP in layman's terms, and what is it intending to do?
The Trans-Pacific Partnership is a multilateral free trade agreement that is currently being negotiated between the U.S. and 11 other nations. It is the most significant U.S. trade pact in the past 10 years and would be the largest free trade agreement in U.S. history, encompassing approximately 40% of the global economy. So the TPP is a trade agreement, but it doesn't only affect trade tariffs and quotas. It also will affect financial regulation, medicine patents, food safety, energy exports, environmental standards, and state sovereignty. The 12 other nations that are involved in negotiations are Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, the U.S., and Vietnam. So those who are in favor of free trade agreements, such as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, say that these agreements will boost U.S. exports and create jobs while pulling emerging markets into the free trade economy. However, statistically speaking, that isn't exactly true. And for all countries that are involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, there will be bad news. So there are lots of things that are troubling to me about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but in my opinion, the most troubling element is the investor-state dispute settlement mechanism, which is also known as ISDS. And ISDS allows foreign-owned businesses to bypass domestic courts and challenge pre-existing or future legislation, standards, or regulations. So those are standards and regulations that protect health, labor, food, water, energy exports.
The bill hasn't been fast-tracked yet. What are the potential dangers if it is?
So the Trans-Pacific Partnership has not been granted fast-track. However, there is fast-track legislation that was introduced in Congress a few weeks ago. Fast-track, which is also known as the Trade Promotion Authority, gives control over trade negotiation to the executive branch of government. And this is interesting because normally Congress has constitutional authority to author and pass international trade agreements. However, under fast-track, Congress will delegate its constitutional authority to the executive branch of government, so to President Obama and the Obama administration. And once fast-track is implemented, Congress is limited to an up or down vote on the agreement, and members of Congress are only given 20 hours to debate, and Congress is not permitted to make amendments or add provisions to the document. So this is really limiting how influential elected officials can be in this trade agreement. And traditionally, fast-track is used as a mechanism to speed up the process of passing trade agreements, which ensures that the authors of the agreement have the pact passed almost exactly as they had it written.
To your knowledge, how are Missouri Congress people and politicians voting on this, specifically in the St. Louis area?
So far in Missouri, the only congressperson who has come out publicly in opposition to Fast Track is Congressman Emanuel Cleaver. And he signed on to the DeLauro-Miller trade letter, which openly denounced granting fast track to the Obama administration. The congressperson that IFCLA has been focusing our work on is Representative Lacey Clay, who is in District 1. And the interesting thing about Representative Clay is that normally he is voting on the right side of these issues and tends to be a real progressive champion. However, in regards to fast track and fast tracking the Trans-Pacific Partnership, he's really been dragging his feet, if not digging his heels in, with taking an opposing stance to the Obama administration. So it's really important that Representative Clay know why Missouri does not want this agreement to be fast-tracked, and also why we want representatives who are elected, like Representative Clay, to give input and to scrutinize these documents.
So a lot of people that I talk to know that the TPP is bad, but that's about all that they know about it. Why do you think that there's so much smoke and mirrors surrounding the TPP?
Great. So although trade negotiations for the TPP have been going on for about 5 years now, very little is actually known about the agreement because the negotiations have been conducted largely in secret. And that means that only trade negotiators and official advisors are permitted to participate in the talks. So U.S. Congress, as I already said, is a body that generally has sole authority to approve these trade agreements, has been kept totally in the dark until very recently when few or certain Congress people were granted access to the document. It's important to specify also that once Congress people were granted access to the documents, they were only permitted to read through the document. They were not permitted to take notes, and they were forbidden from speaking about what they had read. So there's very little transparency in the process. What little we do know about the TPP, we've learned from leaks. There have been 3 official and confirmed leaks of the trade pact. The investment chapter, the intellectual property rights chapter, and the environmental chapter are the 3 chapters that have been released. And within each of those chapters, there have been lots of red flags about how this trade policy will affect things completely outside of trade. And another thing to note is that although Congress and the public have been kept in the dark, corporations have been largely influential in trade negotiations. So I mentioned that trade negotiators and professional advisors were allowed access to the negotiations and the negotiating texts. Those professional advisors are 600 corporate lobbyists, and they are granted steady access to everything pertaining to the negotiations. So some of those corporate lobbyists are from companies like Monsanto, Halliburton, Chevron, Cargill, and GE. And those are all corporations that definitely make me bristle when I hear their name in relation to trade agreements.
So as the program coordinator at IFCLA, how would TPP directly impact your work and the work of other similar like-minded social justice organizations in St. Louis?
That's a really great question. And what I would respond with is, how will it not affect my work? IFCLA is an organization that has been working in St. Louis for the past 30 years. And for nearly all of that time, IFCLA has been calling attention to the adverse effects of free trade agreements, specifically the effects of free trade agreements in the global south in Latin America. So historically speaking, free trade agreements like the Trans-Pacific Partnership have had enormous effects both in the U.S. and abroad. After the passage of NAFTA, immigration rates from Mexico and Central America went through the roof. An influx of American capital and subsidized agricultural products pushed campesinos off of their land and into cities. And following that, economic and environmental refugees were forced to migrate across borders, across the U.S.-Mexico border, looking for greater economic opportunity. An example of how folks in Latin America have responded to the Trans-Pacific Partnership is that last year, the TPP negotiator for Chile resigned from his position so that he could campaign against the agreement's passage. He said that he feared that the terms of the agreement would limit Chile's ability to manage internal affairs, particularly regarding to financial, environmental, and labor regulation. In terms of how this will affect the work of other people in Missouri and other justice organizations, after the passage of NAFTA, Missouri lost thousands of jobs due to outsourcing, and free trade agreements make it more difficult for organized labor to grow and to fight because companies create this race to the bottom, meaning that if a company can't get long hours and low wages in the U.S., they can move their business elsewhere. Also under the TPP, any pre-existing regulation at any level of government for the environment or for food safety are up for attack. So with ISDS, the Investor State Dispute Settlement Mechanism, investors can sue again, at any level of government for laws that create trade barriers. Some such laws would be anti-pollution legislation or pesticide regulation. So environmentalists in Missouri should also be concerned about this agreement.
I know there's some petitions online and folks have been writing letters to the editor, but what else can we do here in St. Louis and beyond to help stop the TPP?
So the one thing I can think of that people can do is that they can call their representative. So my representative in St. Louis City is Representative Lacey Clay, and it's important that our legislators who we elect really advocate for the needs of their constituents. And so it's imperative that representatives like Lacey Clay or Ann Wagner know that as Missourians, we feel that this trade agreement is unjust and that it will have negative implications for us and for our state.